Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Best People We Know radio show. This is where you'll meet experts and celebrities who share their success secrets with you to help you be your most successful best too. Your host, Deb Scott, is a certified professional coach at Discover the Amazing You Coaching and author of the award-winning motivational book, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up. The Best People We Know radio show brings you powerful resources, effective ideas, and transformational tools you can use to educate, inspire, and motivate you to be your most purposeful, peaceful, happy best. So get ready to experience mind vitamins to feed your whole soul. Good change is about to happen. The Best People We Know radio show. Here's your host, Deb Scott.
Hey, everybody. How are you doing today? I am great, and I'm even more excited to be here with all of you because we are the best people we know, right? I mean, you got to love us. Yes, it's Deb and another exciting guest to help you be your very best. You know, this show is dedicated to not just bringing you anybody. Not just anybody can be on the show. People that are outstanding in their field, people that are going to empower you, inspire you, people who walk the talk, people who have something of value to give you the tools, the tips, the resources, the mind vitamins, the inspiration, and the motivation to go out there and share your shine in the world so that you're not somebody else. You want to celebrate being you because there's nobody else like you, and there never will be anybody like you. So as my friend Kathy Holloway always says, and actually Elizabeth has a version too, Elizabeth Hamilton, you are CEO of you, which is your own unique magnificence. Isn't that nice? Don't you love that? I love that. So Marcus is a favorite. Be sure to follow us. You can sign up for updates on the front of the Blog Talk page there. We are adding a lot more shows. We're booked through to June now, and we have shows almost every day, it seems. We're only supposed to be Tuesdays and Thursdays, but get the worry-free updates so that you know you always have choices. I like choices, and, you know, you might too. So today, this is a lady who, you know, there are some people you see, and, you know, maybe they're just gorgeous. They're just gorgeous on the outside. But you wonder, do they have any depth? Do they have any character? Have they suffered? Can they relate to me? Can I learn something from them? You know, oh, they've just had it easy, or, you know, who are they? What's their story? Oh, they probably just got everything handed to them. You know, this woman, look at her page. She's on the cover of Elizabeth Hamilton's Best of You magazine, and she's got a couple of other features she's going to be in. She was just telling me about before we came on air, so she'll share those with us. But, you know, Shannon is Shannon Devine. She is Mrs. International USA 2010, and you look at her and she's gorgeous, but, you know, the more you know her, the more you're going to love her. She's had her struggles and she's had her pain, and she's just like you and like me, and that's the great thing about today. She's going to share with us her journey, adoption, she works, she juggles it all, values, priorities. She's had loss and she's had love, so this is great. Call a friend, you know, get ready. It's going to be an awesome show. And if you want to call in and speak with Shannon, 347-637-1318, just press 1 and we'll get you on through. And that's a gift of the show as well, to be able to speak live with these guests that you couldn't do in any other venue. So Mrs. International combines brains, beauty, and a passion for the gift of adoption as she inspires us today with her message of hope. Shannon Devine captured the title of Mrs. International while competing among 51 of the most dynamic and accomplished women across the world. Whoa. As the 23rd annual Mrs. International pageant in Illinois, Shannon is a musculoskeletal specialist manager with Genzyme Biosurgery, one of the world's foremost biotechnology companies. She graduated from Appalachian State University as a member of a Pi Gamma. Ooh, wow, that's pretty impressive. International Honor Society, Alpha Phi International Sorority, and the dance team. Shannon funded her education by the Miss America Scholarship Program.
Oh, that's such a, you know, big blessing in the pageants that you can do that. Shannon and Jason will celebrate a decade of marriage this December. After several heartbreaking scenarios, the Devines expanded their family on September 1st, 2008, when they adopted their precious little angel, Haley Grace, from Vietnam. In the United States, there are more than 500,000 children in the foster care system, and worldwide, nearly 150 million orphans wait for your hope. As Mrs. International, Shannon will continue to work with the National Council for Adoption to shine a brighter spotlight on the miracle of adoption. And we are so honored and such a pleasure to have you with us today, Shannon. Hi.
Hello. What a wonderful intro.
Well, that's because you're wonderful. You know, the intros go with the person behind them, so that's what happens.
Well, thank you. I always tell people, don't let the name fool you, the Shannon Devine. It's, you know, I'm not always divine, so please don't let the name fool you by any means.
Oh, I think you are. Fine, divine. I was probably pronouncing. I apologize if I'm not pronouncing names correctly. You know, that's always a shortfall on the show. I'm always wondering, oh, I hope I pronounce this right. But, you know, whatever your name, it called Beauty Queen, right? I love your story. And we met, I have to thank first, Elizabeth Hamilton, who's another beauty pageant, brains woman. She's just a powerhouse. And I just feel, you know, there's some people you meet in your life that you're just better for having met. And Elizabeth is one of them. But her generosity of heart is just second to none. But I love your story because, you know, in today's day and age, everybody gets a tabloid magazine. Everybody sees how thin and beautiful and perfect everybody is, and it's a lot of pressure. And the honesty and the up close and personal things that you're going to share today, I think will give people a real sense of authenticity. And that's what I love about your story and what you can bring today. And I'm just wondering, can you tell the listeners, yes, we want to hear how you got to be Mrs. International, but, you know, we want to know about you and the things that make you successful and the values you keep and maybe, you know, some of the practices, you know, a day in the life. What do you do that you think keeps you grounded in your priorities to put first things first in the right order? So there's just so much to cover.
There totally is. Well, I think you summed it up really well before the show ever started, and just waking up every day and celebrating being you. And knowing that no one else can be you. And I think that, you know, going into the Mrs. International competition or getting up every day and getting ready for work or being a mom to Hallie Grace, you know, I'm not perfect by any means, and I make a lot of mistakes. But just celebrating who you are and the gifts that God has given you and being happy with that. And you know, I wouldn't tell anybody to settle because I believe better is always possible. And so my motto each day is to, you know, treat every day like it is a gift because it's called the present. I know we've all heard that. But truly, I mean, your attitude and the way that you wake up every day and look in the mirror at yourself can really determine your success in life. I mean, if you believe it, you can achieve it. And I know these are little sayings that we hear a lot, but they truly resonate and mean so much because you set your destiny by your attitude, by believing in yourself. And, you know, no one else can be Shannon, and that's probably a good thing, my parents might say. You know, when they, my mom says, when they made you, they broke the mold, and that's a good thing. And my husband always says, I would, you know, I wouldn't take $1 million for you, but I wouldn't pay a penny to have another one like you.
So, oh, wow. That's very clever, witty and charming.
Yeah. That kind of tells you a little bit about, you know, my personality. I think just I grew up just a, you know, average Joe, just a little tomboy, very strong-willed, which my child is paying me back every day. You know, God has a definite sense of humor, even through adoption. It's amazing how she is so similar in her attitude, the way that she, you know, her facial expressions when she's upset or doesn't like what I say, the little looks I get. My mom says, yes, I remember those. And so, you know, as far as success in life is just to always, always work on making the best you that you can be, you know, working to build a greater self-confidence in yourself, believing in your abilities, the team that you surround yourself with, and just be resolved to succeed in whatever you do, and don't ever give up. I love to always quote Jim Valvano, who was the former basketball coach at NC State University and took the team to a national championship. And it's just a great, if you ever want to just go back and watch some great, I guess I should say sports settings. I mean, he's a phenomenal man, or was a phenomenal man, and he spoke at the ESPYs in 93, and he was dying with cancer. And I never will forget his speech, and I still go back and Google it at times and watch it when I'm having one of those days, because it doesn't matter that I'm Mrs. International. I still have days where I don't feel that great about myself because I am human. And I love to watch his speech, and it just gets me going because he talks about living life to the fullest and, you know, find something every day that makes you laugh. Find something that makes you think deeply, and find something that moves you to tears, and that's true quality of life. And I just, you know, even though I'm not a total success at doing this, that's what I strive for every day. And I just encourage everybody, you know, as we say, put on your big girl panties and deal with it.
And, it's so great. And you said so many important things that, you know, I believe all of us listening, and we can share this with somebody who isn't listening by, you know, forwarding this to someone's show or just sharing that they had listened to this. We have to change how we define success. We have to be the best we were created to be. And that compare and despair attitude, we really need to dump it, because we're not supposed to be somebody else. We're supposed to be who we are. And if we are the best at that, then we'll have the peace and the happiness and the prosperity, I guess, that we want in the world. And that's what you really advocate for is making sure that whatever you do, you do it with integrity, you do it with zeal, or as you mentioned, you know, have some fun in the day, learn something new, and make sure that someone's better for listening to you or speaking with you. And sometimes I think we need to back up and redefine how we view success and fulfillment. Wouldn't you say that that's part of the learning process to being our best?
Absolutely. I mean, we were talking before the show, obviously, with the careers at Genzyme, and how do you measure success in life, and how do you measure success in work? And, I mean, of course, when you're in sales, the company wants you to measure success of, you know, are you hitting goal? Are you, you know, and all of that is important and crucial to keeping your job and being very successful. But you also have to, you know, each day have the confidence in yourself to know that you're changing lives. If you're working, you know, your background was with cardiac, I mean, just to know that you can help save someone's life by what you're doing, sometimes you have to focus on that aspect versus, oh, my goodness, I have this, you know, quota I have to reach. You get so focused on that, you really lose what's truly important and your purpose of why you are doing your job, and that's to save lives. And so, yes, I think that success really should be redefined in many ways just to keep us going and to keep us, you know, as we said, fresh and new and celebrating being you.
Yeah, and for people listening that don't really know, because Shannon worked at Genzyme, and I had worked when I was in my cardiac surgery days for 20 years, I was in cardiac surgery sales, and that's how I used my biology degree. But the last few years, I was working for a division of Genzyme selling the beating heart surgery equipment. I just loved that company. You know, I always did really well, and I have the I Love Me wall that I can dust off with all the sales awards, you know, and that's all they do now is collect dust. But, you know, the thing about that is that I have a lot of war scars for that, too, because I wasn't willing to compromise on the integrity or just do something or sell something because I was supposed to. I always had to put the person first and what that was going to do to my long-term relationship with those surgeons, with those nurses in the operating room. And sometimes that was embraced and sometimes it wasn't. And, you know, I think that part of being the best you're created to be, which is you do, is knowing that, yes, there are going to be people that don't like you. There's going to be people that are not in your fan club that say that you are absolutely horrible, and there's going to be people that do rotten, horrible, miserable things to you. But you cannot allow yourself to define how you're going to live your life based on, you know, 5 or 10% of the people that may not like you, because there's always going to be 5 or 10% that don't agree with you. And if your whole goal is to people please and keep everybody happy, you'll never make any difference. I mean, I have never, I don't know about you, Shannon, but I've never seen them build a statue for somebody that was a follower, that just was a people pleaser, you know? It's usually the people that make a difference in the world, you know, ruffle a few feathers.
Yes.
And I think that if you haven't, you know, gotten somebody a little uncomfortable and upset, you're probably not living your potential and being your best, because that's just a natural consequence of doing the next right thing. And, you know, one of the things that I would love for you to talk about is, you know, you're up doing beauty pageants, you're speaking to people, you're working, you know, in your sales career, you're juggling family and home. You know, you mentioned something about how you always have that antibiotic, that antidote to a bad day. You don't think, because you're the best person you are created to be, that you're exempt of having a bad day, but you have that video or you have those resources and you know what those tools are and who those people are to give you the opposite effect, to balance out the bad with something great so that you get the, you know, the fun, the smiling and all of that to offset the, you know, things that are inevitably going to happen to us. And one of the things that I think you do so well, you really know how to deal with fear. And today a lot of people deal with fear. And can you speak to that at all?
Yeah, absolutely. I find that to reflect on those, you know, who have faced tremendous obstacles or suffered major setbacks, and, you know, to really look at people that fall into that category that you know, and then, you know, how did they overcome the odds and how did they find success? And maybe what, you know, you can always take from that. And the person that comes to mind first is someone who's, you know, very, very close to me. My grandmother, she passed away this past April, well, last April. I can't believe it's already almost end of February. Good gracious, where does time go? But,
I know.
You know, you take a woman who worked her entire life knitting sweaters in a sweater mill. She became a widow at 47 years old. She lost her first child. After bringing him home, he died, I think it was 2 months later. She had several miscarriages. Then she has, obviously, three children, one being my mother. The lady went through, I can't even tell you everything she went through. She, you know, she lost a grandchild. She lost a child. She, I mean, anything and everything that could have happened to someone that you think would give up on life, she embraced it. She learned from it. She taught us to get up, shake yourself off, and get going. And she had this charisma about her that was so inspiring. And I always, I didn't know, I really didn't know until after my grandmother's passing what an impact she had on my life and continues to this day. And I wish I could tell her, you know, and someday I will. But the things that she did that I would sometimes think, wow, is that, you know, grandmother activity? She was truly setting the foundation of independence for me, trying to show me what it means to, you know, not always walk the easy road. And I can't tell you the gratitude I have for her. And, you know, we're talking about just the sweetest lady that you could ever find, tall, skinny. I mean, we resemble each other a lot in attitude and everything, but had the biggest heart. My husband actually preached her funeral back in April of 2010, and you know, she kept everything. She kept all kinds of notes. And, I mean, I was just in shock of everything that she kept. And the consistent theme was it was all about her family, all about her community. She had the capacity to love that no one else that I can think of, you know, possessed. And it was just one of those days that you sit and you reflect and you think, if this is the kind of legacy that I can leave behind, then I will have to say I succeeded in life. And it's really funny how we're talking about pageants, et cetera. She's the reason that I competed in my first pageant. You know, she said, oh, I want you to do this. And we would all laugh and say, you know, we called her, you know, I'm in the South, so we called her Mama. We said, Mama loves the pageant. She just wants you to be in the pageant so she can come and sit on the front row. But, you know, she was always my cheerleader. She bought my first gown that I ever competed in. I can't say enough. But I look at my life, I look at her life, some of the obstacles that she overcame and came out victoriously. And I try to set myself in the same way, you know, as I said, to reflect on people, you know, find someone that has faced an obstacle and suffered a setback. And how did they overcome the odds? How did they win? And I think that she was a true winner in life.
That, you know, and I really am so grateful that you just focused on that, because mentors, you know, what you're saying is you had a good mentor. And I think today I work with young people. I'm very passionate about teens. And I really think that part of the problem is they lack good mentors. You know, if you don't have someone to emulate, like you had your grandmother, you had her encouraging you, overcoming, showing that love was more important. It wasn't what you did, but how you did it. And, you know, that Mother Teresa, you know, the world is hungering. It's harder to feed someone the love that they want and the hunger for that than it is to, you know, give them food. And I think that that's what we all have in common listening to the show or anywhere in the world, no matter what the languages we speak, we all want to be loved and appreciated unconditionally as we are. And you had a great mentor as your grandmother to do that with, and she was getting your gown. She put her love in action. And I think that's why you're so successful, because you have now passed that on, and that's what you're doing for others, and that's what you're sharing with us today. So I am just so grateful that you are, you know, sharing. I know sometimes, you know, these personal things are a little bit difficult, but that's the only way we help each other. And none of us are going to live long enough to make all the mistakes and learn all the lessons. So, you know, what you're saying is we have to learn from others, but we have to find the right people to learn from.
Yeah, and there comes a time in your life whenever you are able to share. You know, we were talking about Elizabeth earlier, and she and I had the pleasure of competing together in 2006 at Mrs. United States. And she was just a delight from the beginning. And I remember, she'll probably tell you the story, I remember in the swimsuit competition, she's like, oh, I'm just going to hide behind you. And I said, girl, you walk out there like you're Miss America. What are you talking about? You know, you just hold your head high and you be proud of, you know, who you are and what you represent. And I say that to say that earlier in I guess, the Mrs. Pageant career, I would get a lot of, I don't want to call it grief, but people would make comments about, well, yeah, you're skinny or fit because you've never had children. And I, you know, never would say anything, just kind of go on about my business, because I wasn't ready to share. I still was hurting and crushed and dying inside, pretty much, to be honest with you, because I had been pregnant and I had had miscarriages and I had carried twins for a long time before, you know, having a horrific accident but I say all that to say, you know, people don't know where you come from. And I wasn't able to share that for a long time, because there's just a lot that you carry with things like that. You carry guilt. You carry shame. You wonder, what did I do that caused this? You know, am I being punished? You know, does God not think I'm a good mom? I mean, I cut, you know, what's the reason for all of this? And the reason for all of that was that precious little girl, Hallie Grace, that was a world away in an orphanage. And not only Hallie Grace, but that her entire, as I call them, the class, the Twin Quan class, that they were stuck. The government had them stuck, and there was no way, you know, that they were budging. We had RFEs, requests for further evidence, go find a birth mother, which was, you know, just insane, and that could never happen. And so they were hoping that someone like Shannon wasn't on board and was going to push through. And I said, you know what, enough is enough. We did all the research, went to Capitol Hill, we did everything that we could do to make sure that their corruption did not exist in these cases, because you don't want to be a part of anything like that. No one does. And once we knew that without a doubt, and once we knew they had nothing to stand on, I said, watch me, I'll go. And I did. And after coming back and after adopting Hallie Grace and becoming her mother, it all made sense. It just started to unravel, you know, just like you're opening a present. It all started to come about of why I had endured the suffering and the pain and even the comments that would really hurt my feelings. But, you know, I couldn't just turn around and just open up to somebody and say, no, actually I have, you know, I didn't want to get into that. And So, you know, you look at life and you look at reasons of, you know, why am I Mrs. International? Because to be honest with you, there were 51 other women who were so deserving, beautiful, talented, had great causes, you know, passion for life. You know, I was not the best of the best. I mean, I think the purpose is that it was time and I was ready to share my story. And I can't tell you the amount of women that have been able to open up and talk openly and just let all of this go. You know, as I said, you have to look at things in your life and things that have happened to you. They build your character. They make you who you are. And you're always growing and building. And, I mean, I'm just thankful for the opportunity to be able to share. It's not a sad story by any means. It's the greatest love story of all time.
Oh, and you said another thing that I really want to pause upon, because what you are talking about is using your talents and knowing who you are. And your grandmother saw that, and I think that somebody listening right now, you know, this is something that you need to reflect on right now. Talents are, hey, your beauty is a talent. It's something that God gave you that you didn't really earn on your own. Some people are really smart with technology. Some people are really funny. Some people can speak. Some people can write. Some people, you know, are good at X, Y, and Z. And one of the things that you had was compassion and beauty, and you also had the brains. But you used that beautiful physical outside for something greater on the inside. And you won the pageant, and yes, you won it based on the criteria that they had, but you also really examined who you were and what you needed to do to make the world better. And using your own personal experience, because people don't really listen to people that they don't trust, that they don't believe relate to them, that, you know, don't have a personal experience that is something to build that credibility upon. And your story, based on your pregnancies and so forth, and how you personally came to adopt your beautiful daughter, you know, that is a powerful story. And using that and using Mrs. International as a springboard to help so many other people find hope and meaning in the things that don't seem to have any meaning at the time, what your testimony gives and what your inspirational story provides to us listening is, you know what? Shannon didn't know at the time, but then it was the aha moment later on saying, ah, I can see where the dots connect. But you continued to persevere, and you continued to have that faith and that hope and that trust and keep doing the right things. You didn't quit. And that's where you inspire me, and I'm sure you're inspiring all the listeners, and that's what's so great about what you're doing with Mrs. International. And I'm sure there are people listening who have had that you know, trauma of not, you know, of losing their child. You know, what do you say to them? What do you tell them about adoption and some of the gifts and wonderful things that you've experienced and what you share in your advocacy towards that?
Well, I would start by telling them that, you know, going through the adoption process, it's not an easy process. If anything, it's probably the hardest thing that we ever endured. But the reward is just, I mean, you've seen photos of Pally Grace. I mean, we call her Little Miss Magic for a reason. And I would just encourage anyone who is walking through the journey to really face it as a journey. It's not a process. It's totally a journey. And I think that I truly believe that I've always said God has a way of knowing when people belong together. And, you know, even after struggles of trying to have children biologically, we went through, domestic adoption that didn't go through, and even an adoption scam, which, you know, I don't want to focus on the negative. I just want to tell people that sometimes it's not always easy. It's not an easy journey. But in the end, on that day, on September 1st of 2008, whenever my daughter was placed in my arms, it all made sense. And every heartache and every tear and every sleepless night and every why, Lord, was answered immediately. And it's just amazing how, I tell you, as I said, I mean, she is magical. And sometimes I never am at a loss of words, but sometimes when I'm trying to describe how Pally Grace makes me feel, that's why I say, you know, I never believed in love at first sight. Never did I believe in that, because my husband and I were friends, you know, before we ever even had a relationship with each other. We were, you know, best friends. But the moment I laid eyes on her, even on match day, which is when you get your referral and it's, you know, through the internet, we had kind of laughed about the process. You've got to find humor. You have to find humor in life every day, as I said. But we had to send in lots of information. When you compile a dossier to go through an adoption, you have to send in photos. I think it was 8 family photos. I'm thinking, okay, so, you know, do we take a picture of ourselves making faces? Like, really, what is this all about? And, you know, we would poke fun and say, okay, yeah, right. I have blonde hair and I'm, you know, tall. If they find a baby in Vietnam that looks like me, then hats off to them. I mean, we would just always say, this is silly. But it's amazing, because the day that we opened her photo, you know, you think of Asian children as having those beautiful almond eyes that, you know, I look in her eyes and I just, oh, I can melt. And Pally Grace was the child in the orphanage among all the babies that just looked as if she was in shock when she saw us. I mean, she has, you know, big round set eyes, and it's almost like, ha ha, I told you so. But, you know, the process is just that. It's a process, but it truly is a journey. And regardless of what you go through and what you endure, you have to believe in your heart of hearts that the child that is supposed to be your child, I mean, it will happen. I mean, I look at, you know, the adoption attempts before Pally Grace, and it makes me shudder to think, what if that would have happened? What if that would have went through? I wouldn't have her, and life just would not be the same. I mean, she's our daughter, without a doubt. I mean, she has, as I said, my personality, my attitude, which may not be the best thing in the world, but, I mean, talk about a strong-willed child, and that little girl is going to change the world. I just know it. I mean, she's going to be something big, and she's going to do something large. I just know it. And I think her story and what she'll be able to tell and share with others is going to be, you know, her gift to so many, because she was a fighter from day one. I mean, we adopted her at 9 months old, a little over 9 months. And, I mean, the little peanut was like 13 pounds.
Wow.
And I remember them telling me she had night terrors. This was through a translator. And, you know, you have to imagine, we walk into this orphanage. Yes, I had heard of orphanages, and I had heard of third world countries. I'd never been there. So I'm thinking, I'll just do whatever I have to do. Huh. Welcome to the real world, Shannon. You know, there's no bathrooms whatsoever on the way to her province, which took us 4 hours to drive 70 miles. If that gives you any idea, there's really no roads in northern Vietnam, and especially her province, and no such thing as a toilet. And so, you know, it was one of those things of, wow. I mean, we think sometimes not getting the best hotel room is roughing it. That's really roughing it. And then one of the other reasons, you know, going back to being Mrs. International and having something to stand on to speak about adoption is, you know, support groups. Nobody had even shared with me that these children didn't have diapers on, that they didn't know, you know, there was, when you have no water per se, no toilets, things like that, you know, how are you going to clothe babies in diapers? It's not going to happen. And so there were so many things that I walked into that day that after the fact, you know, reflecting on it, I thought, wow, it'd be wonderful if there were support groups out there that could really share and really set people up for what you're going to experience, just to make the transition a little easier. But, you know, at that time, it didn't matter. I just cuddled her and snuggled her, and, I mean, immediately, you know, just knew that she was our daughter. And, I mean, as I said, the most beautiful story. I mean, she's just amazing.
Well, you are amazing, and I love how you really shine. I can feel your smile through the airwaves, talking about the connection that we all desire in loving people, and whether it's loving your grandmother or loving your daughter and your husband, and, you know, really being grateful. I think that the quality that, you know, comes to me is your place of gratitude. And it's unfortunate that we often don't appreciate things until they're lost or gone or we don't have them anymore. But the good news is that we can learn from other people, and through your story and what you're sharing, you can help us avoid some of those things that, you know, we don't have to. And even your, you know, brilliant sharing of support groups. I mean, you know, we don't necessarily always think it's like scotch tape. Wow, why didn't I think of that? You know, that's such a simple idea, but we don't think of those things. And having somebody that's walked the path ahead of us, and, you know, you've obviously done it and you're still doing it, that's willing to share the truth is going to help so many other people just, you know, springboard into major success that they couldn't have maybe done without listening to you or meeting you or connecting with you. And, you know, I think that's, I mean, to me, that's one of the traits that I look at before I define somebody as successful. How much are they willing to help somebody else get what they want? Because if somebody else is the priority, that to me is usually a pretty good indicator that there's a genuine soul in there that wants to make a difference. And, you know, certainly that's something that you're doing, using Mrs. International as a platform.
Well, and there were times along the adoption journey, as I said, that I felt very alone. And after the fact, I just really felt that, you know, experiencing firsthand the emotional and physical difficulties of the journey, I mean, if anything, my goal as Mrs. International is just to continue educating and raising awareness about the adoption journey and just to help other families not lose hope and to tell them, you know, keep going and don't ever lose sight of building your family through the miracle of adoption. If that's your goal, you know, if it takes you however long it takes you, don't give up hope, because the right child, your child, is waiting for you and needs you just as much as you need them. And so, you know, it's not an easy road, but it is the most rewarding thing that I've ever been a part of. I mean, obviously, most parents would say that about their children, but just knowing, you know, just to see the other children with their families that were her orphanage mates, it just, you know, we had the opportunity just a few weeks ago, the first weekend of February, to celebrate Tet, which is the Vietnamese New Year, and there's, you know, several families that came together in Winston-Salem and had a Tet party, and you know, I laughed, I said, here we are, you know, we don't even know how to throw a Tet party, but we're trying for these children. And it was just, the feelings were just I can't even describe how it felt just to see those kids. You know, there was a TV in the background playing of the orphanage and some video clips that various parents had taken. And so you could see the babies, you know, laying on these bamboo mats, you know, 8 to 10 of them in one crib. And then, if you want to call a bamboo mat a crib, but, you know, that was their bed. And so, and then you see them running around and playing and, you know, just full of life and energy. And they, I mean, you know, just to reflect, to look at the TV and see her there and to see, you know, her friend Lulu and see her friend Quinn and her friend Kate, and then to see them in the floor playing and running and on stage pretending, you know, they're have the microphone and singing. And I mean, it just was the most beautiful thing. I mean, it just was, I just sat there and probably didn't move for 20 minutes, just amazed at how a little bit of love can take a child and take a family and just, you know, move a world. I mean, really, think about these children that were just laying in that bamboo mat, and here they are. I mean, these girls can do it all. I mean, it's just, it's still to this day. I mean, there, not a day goes by that I'm not touched by my daughter, her story, and what she's going to do to change the world. I mean, she's going to make her mom look like, Mom, you didn't do anything with your life. I mean, I know she's going to make something just, you know, just by, and I want to instill that within her, to never, ever, ever be ashamed of who you are and where you came from, girl. You be proud. You know, I mean, you be proud. I was raised, my mom was still going through school. She was a school teacher. My dad worked in law enforcement and worked with a family business. But, you know, we were just, I don't even know if we were middle class. We might have been lower to middle. I'm not real sure. But we had love. And, you know, that's what matters. And, of course, you know, financial means help you in life. And you know, I always say she's going to be a Harvard or a Yale graduate. I have huge goals for her in life because I know she can do it. I know she can do it.
I love your story. I can't believe that we're at the end of the show, and I know people are going to want to get more of you, and hopefully you can come back on and continue to share, you know, your journey, because I just love what you're doing. I love that you're authentic, that you're humble, that you're grateful. I love that you're, you know, just making a difference and focusing on love, and children are really just the gift that keeps on giving. And I don't think there's enough people focusing on the positive. I mean, I can't even turn on the news some days. It's just like bad karma. So to listen to you and to listen to this show, I mean, I love my own show, I have to say, because people like you really inspire me, and I believe that the listeners are really smiling just as much as I am right now. So if somebody wants to connect with you, how do they find you? Can you give us your Facebook or LinkedIn, or where are your webpage and so forth? You know, somebody wants to speak with you, talk to you, get some information. I know you're here, so how do they find you?
Well, probably the best way, I have a website. It's shannondevine.com, and it talks a lot about our adoption story. They can also go to the Mrs. International site, and from there they can probably click, you know, a link to get in touch with the director, you know, if they wanted me to speak or something like that. I do have a what they call, I guess, the fan page on Facebook, Mrs. International Shannon Devine. So those are a couple of, you know, of ways that they could get in touch with me. But, you know, my adoption story is on the website. And I also have a personal blog. If you, once you're on my website, it'll say follow our blog. And that blog goes back, I started that on Mother's Day of 2008. And so, you know, we didn't adopt Hallie Grace until September. So that's just kind of our journey up to the adoption, and then and I've kept that blog going. And then there's a, with the international pageant systems, there's a teen, a miss, and a misses, and we also blog, and that blog is theinternationalpageants.blogspot.com. And you can find that by going to the Mrs. International website as well. So you know, I probably gave you way too many avenues to find me.
No, I think it's good because, you know, that's one of the beauties of this show is that you can speak live if you want to or in the chat. You can connect with people. And that's how we help each other. And that's why people listening, people that are guests, we're all helping each other. And it's just been a real honor to have you on here, Shannon. I hope you'll come back and continue to inspire us.
I'd love to. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. And any time that I'm able to share, you know, our message of hope and our adoption story, it empowers me to continue my goal. And so I appreciate the opportunity and just the airtime to do that.
Awesome. I'm telling you, you squeeze the juice out of living, and you are the jewel in the crown of life and inspire us to do the same. So, Shannon, keep up the great work and keep sharing that shine. And God bless you and keep up the love. And thank you so very much. And thank everybody for listening today. And share this show with a friend if you know somebody that needs a little lift and needs to be inspired. This would be a great show to share with them. And do connect with Shannon because, you know, that's really a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to connect with somebody who's really making a difference in the world, just like you are, too, because we're all here for specific reasons. So thank you, Shannon.
Thank
we appreciate you.
I enjoyed it. We'll talk soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Best People We Know radio show with your host, Deb Scott. For more on Deb and her guests, plus her award-winning guidebook to transformation, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up, go to Deb's website, greenskyandbluegrass.com. You can also connect with Deb for coaching or speaking and sign up for Deb's free Mind Vitamin newsletter while you're there. So now, you're one step closer today to your greatness. We look forward to being with you next time on the Best People We Know radio show.